You
work
for them.
Thank you for listening.
Today we present you with an exclusive interview with Roger Ballen, a photographer from South Africa. Sit back and enjoy.
Your work reminds us of German design and photography from the 1920s. It seems very planned out and designed. How much work goes into the design and layout of your photos?
Look, I think it's very hard to say how much design goes into one photograph, because each photograph is always slightly different, and I think taking pictures is sort of the same analogy as facing the empty page in the morning as a writer or the empty canvas as a painter. I think the design that you really see in the work isn't planned as such, but it's a way of seeing it. And the pictures, in a way, are a way of being. So the way I put together pictures is really a function of the way I perceive the world through a camera. I guess it's a conscious and a subconscious process going on. It's not a planned step, 1, 2, 3. It's working with the place, the materials that are around. And ultimately, I guess in my own mind, there's a sensibility which I want to create from my photographs. And I guess when that sensibility is either reached or seen, because some of the pictures almost exist the way you see them in the photographs, and the other pictures, somebody or perhaps are more interactive. When that sensibility is reached in terms of the way I see the things in front of me, I begin taking the photograph.
Your recent work uses 2D space where most photographers would use 3D. Why is this?
It's very hard to know why. I think in the end of the day, that just is the way you see the world. It's like Mogliani painting, or, you know, it's the way he paints. So it's the way I see. And somehow or another, when those elements in the picture achieve that sensibility, somehow or another, I feel the picture's reached some sort of heightened state of being. So the world outside me merges with the world inside of me. And I feel comfortable that there's some sort of message there that means something to me, and then I take the photograph. So I don't go out consciously and try to create a particular type of space. It's either there, it's not there. It's like in nature, it's hard to know why a white moth goes to a white wall or a green insect stays on the green leaf. That's where he feels comfortable.
Most of your recent work seems to be shot indoors. Do you set these photos up for the shot?
Nearly all the photographs are in people's houses, and so I know different people I go back to, or I find different places, and in these places the various elements of these photographs exist. Sometimes they exist, I wouldn't say in the way that you see them in the photograph, because it's very crucial to understand that even if the same objects were in front of both of us, we would never take the same photograph. So this is a common miscalculation people have about the nature of photography, that you set this thing up. But the fundamental fact is, when we talk about setting things up, my pictures in that particular place that one might call setup will be different than yours. So really, again, what you see is a way of seeing, the way I perceive the reality of the things in front of me. And what's happened over the last 3 years is the pictures have gone from very, very frontal portraits of certain group of people to more abstract and more conceptually complex. And objects, animals, lines, textures, tones, somehow or another create a more abstract, complex environment than perhaps existed before. In a way, the pictures are more about a place than about a people at this point.
A lot of people instantly attach themselves with your work. Do you think it has to do with your ideals or your philosophy?
I think the philosophy is really very simple. Simple forms and complex meaning. And so I try to reduce the picture to a very few forms. And a person can be a form, an animal can be a form, an object can be a form, or a line on a wall is a form. And I try to keep this as simple and clear as possible. But the meaning of these things in relationship to the images that I create must be complex. The meaning must be multidimensional and multi-layered, and something that one can't easily verbalize. So the less you can almost say about my work, the more ambiguous it is, the more I feel that they've succeeded as images.
Do you see your work as personal or documentary?
The work ultimately has to be personal. The only meaning that's in the purpose of the work is personal. It's driven by my own existential needs. And so the work is only a reflection of a Roger at any particular point in time. And good art is something that other people can find their own meaning in. So the if the work is, I think, good art, other people can find important meanings inside themselves and reflect on those meanings. And it somehow or another attaches itself to a lot of people. So I think in the end of the day, it can't be just personal art. It has to be universal art. I guess, but my motive for taking the picture doesn't come out of a motive of trying to help other people, or really, I can't really predict what the pictures will do to other people. It's impossible. It's actually futile.
Your work looks very selfless. It's hard to verbalize.
It shouldn't be easy to verbalize. It shouldn't be so easy to verbalize. It's a part of the... I think good art is, in some ways, you feel like you've been there before, but you can't remember when and where. It's in that part of the mind. And you're not quite sure whether you've been there in your dreams or whether it's a thought that crossed you one day, or it's a place you were in maybe as a child. You don't know.
It's amazing that you capture that. A lot of art, you don't get a feeling in your gut from it. That is what is so great about your work.
Thank you. I mean, in a way, I think when I sometimes think about how I got here, maybe it's been good that I lived all these years in South Africa, just in some sort of isolated way, away from the art scene, away from museums. I just thought of this as a hobby for 20 years. And just sort of slowly but surely developed this in isolation, away from trends, you know, away from the fashions, and away from the gimmicks of the art business.
Do you feel that living in Africa is vital to your work?
I don't, not right now. I wouldn't say it's vital. I've incorporated so much of my experience in my way of seeing, in my way of doing. So I don't know right now if it's totally vital to my pictures. But it's, you know, I've worked as a geologist for 30 years and lived in Africa for 30 years, and you know, it's had a profound influence on me as a human being. And really, ultimately, if you're a good artist, or I think a artist that makes important statements, yeah, you're able to integrate your life experience in your work. And the older you get, perhaps the more profound the expression becomes, because it's a reflection of many years of life. And I'm sure the things I've experienced in the world, in Africa, and traveled a lot over the years, must have had a major relationship to what I produce. I think my experience has been, I think if I look back upon it, it's been very varied and very different than most artists. You know, I've really experienced a real range of things over the years. It's just not been working in a city like New York with other artists. You know, I basically walked from Cairo to Cape Town when I was a young man, and from Istanbul to New Guinea. I feel I have a real strong understanding of the human experience and the natural world we live in. It's funny, you know, there was a quote yesterday. Some kid tried to get to it at the lecture, and I re-quoted him. It was a Nietzsche quote: if you gaze into the abyss gazes back at you. It's important that you, I think, in that the work actually has to challenge yourself, and you have to be able to take yourself to the edge and be able to manifest that experience. You can take yourself to the edge, but you have to have the tool, whether you're a painter, a writer, or whatever you are, then to manifest it. So a lot of people go to the edge, but unfortunately for themselves, I guess, and for society, they haven't found a tool to express that. So I've been lucky in my life I found the camera, because I can't write well, and singing would probably create the next world war.
You have been taking photographs for 20-something years or more now.
I've been taking photographs. I'm 56. I've probably been taking serious photographs since 20, you know, 18, 19, 20. 35 years, at least.
How do you feel about how much attention your work has been getting?
I'm really pleased, because it's been a lot of work, a lot of years, a lot of effort and a lot of sacrifice. And, you know, it was always for me and the ultimate, but it's really a deep pleasure, I think, for any artist to see that people begin to appreciate his work. It really gives you a very strong, ultimate sense of satisfaction. Not that the work, as I said, was done for the public in any way, but I think in the end of the day, it's like in any field, if you get some recognition, it's always a positive thing for most people. I think a lot of people in this world, some recognition would help them out in all sorts of ways. So it's always a nice thing, I think. You know, maybe too much of it inundates you and you lose focus on what you do. That's a problem some people have. And we certainly, I don't know about South Africa, you know, here, I know here it's a celebrity-based culture in all sorts of ways, and I wouldn't want to see myself as that. I see myself as much more serious and intent than being, you know, kicked around at, you know, on front pages of sort of here and now magazines. But it's nice that a lot of people are feeling something towards the work. I mean, it's quite satisfying.
We were surprised at the amount of people that were arguing about your work being exploitative.
Yeah, this is the thing is my work, you know, there were issues like that 15, 20 years ago. It was during the work was very politicized, and you know, Diane Arbus had the same issues. Now Diane Arbus is a princess, like Prince Di. So these are issues, they're issues that people create because they don't understand the nature of aesthetics. And they're issues easy to discuss and to create controversy with. Yeah. So one doesn't necessarily want to get hung up on that too much. And the pictures really have changed dramatically in the last 8, 9, 10 years. I'm getting none of that anymore. Absolutely zero, even in South Africa. You know, I don't get the issues that came out of the earlier work don't exist in the newer work in terms of people criticizing me for this or that. I think people really, even the most basic people see that it's artwork and it's complex and meaning and dealing with a lot of things that they're actually unable to express verbally. So, you know, one has to be careful when one discusses one's history because, you know, it goes back a long time and it changes, and one doesn't want to necessarily compare the issues of 20 years ago with now, although I certainly wouldn't want to dismiss the, you know, interaction between one period and the next and the influence of one period on the next. That's very crucial.
We think that it is pretty obvious that you had somewhat of a relationship with the people you are taking photos of.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I just said last in the lecture, look at my phone now. How many people are saying, when are you coming home now? So, you know, it's a nonsensical issue. It's an issue created by people who don't understand photography, and it's bad journalism, and you'll find in all sorts of newspapers and magazines, they want to create issues out of nothing. That's a thing to go back and say, well, did these people give you permission? Why do you photograph these strange people? What are you trying to achieve? What do you mean by this? Who gave you, why are you as an American doing that? You know, you get all these issues that come up, and you know, they're actually futile to talk about it. Yeah. That's what I really honestly believe. And take it from the horse's mouth and walk away from it, because Don Arbus had the same problems 30 years ago. And people over 30 years have transcended that understanding to see that what she was doing was more than just exploiting strange people. She was creating a very complex, important world. And the pictures were different than the people. You or anybody else, we could find the same person that I work with, and you would never create the same picture. So what are we talking about? It's a way, those people are a way of seeing, not a way of being. They're only being, their being is in the picture. Their being outside the picture is different than in the picture. What you're doing is seeing a photographic reality. People don't understand that. Maybe in the end of the day, subconsciously, that's what motivated me. I'm not saying it's the only motive, to move away from people into more abstract, complex statements, because the issues in the other photographs were always being misdirected. And I felt that there are a lot of issues that I was dealing with that were visually and aesthetically important. And as long as certain people were photographed in a certain way and had a presence, those issues were being ignored. And I don't think I changed my photographs again for the audience, but I felt that I wanted to explore other issues. They're always part of my photographs.
Do you have any pets?
Yeah, I do have pets, dogs, rats. As many as I can get into my house without getting thrown out of my house. You know, I really do like animals. I like the natural world. I like the trees, I like the rocks, I like the animals.
What about hobbies?
I like hiking, I like fishing. In Johannesburg, not so good fishing. You have to go down to the sea, you know, it's landlocked. As not like here, you have all the lakes. One thing I'm a bit disappointed about, I really wanted to get to do some fishing here while I was on this trip or go up to Lake Superior, and unfortunately, all I do is rush from one place to the next. So one of my dreams is to sit on Lake Superior for a couple of days and catch some walleyes.